You're listening to the Washington Weekly Review. I'm the Southeast Iowa Union's Kalen McCain. It's the week of August 3rd, 2024. Our local stories this week feature elected official salaries, yard parking rules, and a special election. That's up next after the big picture. In 2022, 7 dairy exhibitors entered the show ring at the Washington County Fair. In 2023, that number dropped to 5. And this summer, only 3 showmen entered the contest. Senior 4-H'er Reese Good was among them. She said she was disappointed by the show's shrinking popularity.
It kind of makes me sad sometimes because I'd like to see how she would do against another cow. Because like the last 3 years that I've shown her, she's only been against herself. So I'd like to see like a little bit more competition, I guess.
Experts say the trend goes far beyond Southeast Iowa. Washington County Fair Dairy Judge Jake Jantz said he saw similar patterns in other communities. He attributes the shift to increasingly industrialized agriculture.
Much like all of production agriculture, you see really rapid rates of consolidation within the dairy industry. And that is something where you're going to have fewer and fewer, farm kids going back to the family farm. They're going to be entering the farm support industry in all likelihood.
While a similar pattern is playing out across the entire livestock sector, the trend hits dairy showmen the hardest. Rabbits, sheep, goats, steers, and hogs shown at the county fair are often auctioned away at the week's end. Prize winners tend to sell for magnitudes above their market value as local businesses seek to reward young showmen for their work and encourage a future in the ag industry. But dairy cows don't get sold. The animals are traditionally more valuable for the milk they produce, so there's almost zero market for the livestock itself. That means 4-H'ers who show dairy don't get the big payouts awarded to their peers in other events. Washington County Fair Dairy Superintendent Maddie Scooball said she was aware of the issue. She hopes to launch a scholarship program to help turn things around.
And not that money is everything, but just on like any, the beef kids, they get to sell it and they get money. The hog kids get money. So they should be able to get something in return for doing this as well. Just like any farmer does in the industry, we get money too for paychecks. So I'd like to maybe do a scholarship for the senior division for the work they've put in throughout all the years that they've done it.
That's the big picture. But stick around. We'll be back with the local news right after this. Hey, unless you're one of our 2 unexplained listeners on other continents, you've probably been to Washington before. That means you've probably heard of Dodigi's. That means you've probably heard of the 3-part lunch special they've got for $12.12. You're likely also familiar with the 3-course dinner special for $21.12. And you've surely caught wind by now of half-off bottles of wine on Thursdays. But when's the last time you ate there? Lately, Dodigi's has upgraded their outdoor seating, and they've added wine flights. Don't worry, if you're not one for new things, it's still as easy as ever to enjoy the beautiful view of Washington's downtown, selection of craft cocktails, and menu full of award-winning Italian cuisine. Thanks to Cafe Dodigi for sponsoring the Washington Weekly Review. A bill passed earlier this year by the state legislature dissolved every county's advisory compensation commission and passed the buck to county supervisors instead. But each county has the option to reinstate their commission if they can pass a motion to that effect. Supervisors said in early debates that they worried about public backlash if they set their own salary. Here's Richard Young.
Well, we don't have a compensation board. We're totally on the spot.
Every year
we're going to decide what the elected officials get for a salary without input from anybody except for us 5. My preference is to leave it alone.
But the new law also raised the standards for those setting salaries to show their work. It implemented requirements for comparing pay scales to those in nearby counties and at similar jobs in the private sector. Supervisor Jack Seward Jr. said he worried that the workload might be too much to ask for an all-volunteer compensation commission.
The thing that's changed to me is that now you have to show your work.
Yeah, but so would a comp board, right?
Right.
So
a volunteer comp board, we got work for you to do.
Sure.
No pay, no nothing.
Sure.
Well, where we would do it, we got to show our work too. But we're sitting here paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the ones that are ultimately responsible. So my biggest thing is we have enough trouble getting volunteers to participate.
Seward has also worried that the commission might seem biased to the public, since members are each hand-picked by a different elected official in the county. Still, most of those officials say they try not to appoint anyone too personally close to them. Here's County Attorney Nathan Rep at last week's supervisor meeting.
I was able to find a representative, but it wasn't someone that I would necessarily consider a friend. I tried to find someone who was completely unbiased and independent and fair.
Supervisors plan to vote on the issue Tuesday, after taking several delays to gather public input, which has so far been minimal. An ordinance amendment governing vehicles parked in residential yards is likely to pass at next week's Washington City Council meeting. The city code changes were heavily revised after a similar draft failed to pass in February. Community members complained that version was too restrictive and impossible to fairly enforce. The new proposal would allow indefinite parking for vehicles in backyards and side yards as long as they're on an all-weather surface like gravel or concrete. Cars could park on the grass, too, but not for more than 72 hours. Front yard parking, however, would be limited to 24 hours, unless it's in a driveway. Councilmember Patrick Morgan said it seemed like a more reasonable approach than the previous proposal.
We know people have these things, but we also don't want to have this challenger issue of just, I'll throw it in my front yard, or I'll park it next to my house, and now we've got weeds growing up next to it, or it doesn't move, something of that nature. So we want to make sure if it's something that you have permanent, let's put it on a hard surface, but let's work with you on how we do that.
Not everyone is happy with the changes. Councilmember Fran Steigers voted against a second reading for the amendment, and two residents in a dispute with their neighbor over backyard trailer parking said the new version didn't go far enough. One of them was Mary Ann Minnick.
We have trailers that are parked there, and they are there for days, weeks, even months sometimes, and never moved. There's no restriction on the number of trailers, cars, trucks, including semis, in your new code. Washington invests a lot of resources in various community improvement programs, such as Betterment Foundation, Washington Historical Prevention, Preservation Commission, Washington Economic Development, and Main Street Washington. However, at the same time, you are apparently willing to allow the balance of town to clutter creep one property at a time toward a more like ghetto atmosphere.
Three people are running for a vacant at-large seat on the Washington City Council. The special election date is August 6. That's Tuesday of next week. The Chamber of Commerce will hold a last-minute candidate forum at the library on August 5, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Executive Director Michelle Redlinger said she hoped the lunch hour event would accommodate voters' summer schedules.
We looked at a different format because of the summer schedules, vacations, and possible conflicts in the evening that might prohibit people from attending the traditional evening candidate forum.
Rob Meyer is perhaps the most familiar name on the ballot. The former mayoral candidate lost that special election in April by a wide margin, but he said the previous race made him both recognizable and approachable to many in Washington.
I guess in a sense, as opposed to where I was going out during the mayoral election and putting myself out there, we created a form of comfortableness to where folks come to me now. It's a nice balance between the two. So yes, I can go out into the community and we encounter folks all the time. We talk about things all the time. It seems like we have a lot of good structural conversations throughout the community. But at the same time, I don't feel as if I'm searching for that approval. I feel as if people have now gained the sense of, well, we can approach that guy. And it seems to work.
Also in the running is Ken Schroeder. While the retired Washington resident has only lived in town since 2017, he said he was as good as a local, but he added that his out-of-town experience gave him a neutral perspective on the issues.
You know, if you've grown up in a city, you don't like to see things change. People don't like change. There are things that I don't like to see change. But we have to change, and you have to be able to continue to move and get things to where they're in better situations.
Jennifer Durst has thrown her name in the hat as well. She's been a frequent attendee at Washington City Council meetings ever since the city overhauled its street parking rules in 2022. Employed as an IT specialist for UI Hospitals, Durst said she was an analytical thinker who could make well-informed decisions.
I'm an analytical thinker, okay? That is not to say that I don't have my own viewpoint, but I go into situations, I have my own thoughts, my own viewpoint on it. But that doesn't mean that that's going to drive my ultimate decision. Anybody that knows me, and trust me, you can ask them, I ask a million questions. That's just that I have always been that way. I ask a million questions because it's, I'm a firm believer in there's no dumb question. Because every little bit of information you get helps to formulate an ultimate decision in the end.
That's the local news. We'll be back with the best news I've heard all week right after this. Todd Hahn Construction is an award-winning custom home builder with a 28-year history in the greater Iowa City area. Hahn's goal is to build you the finest quality custom home while providing you with a positive experience along the way. It's one of the many reasons they've been named the Iowa City Area Home Builder of the Year time and time again. A custom home is more than just a house. It's the culmination of a dream and years of hard work. Todd Hahn Construction makes that dream come true by always putting you, the customer, first. For more information, go to ToddHahnConstruction.com. That's ToddHahnConstruction.com. And now, the best news I've heard all week. A big old chair has appeared in Washington Central Park, courtesy of Main Street, Washington. Main Street director Samantha Meyer said the seasonal decoration would make a great photo backdrop, as the group encourages visitors to help spread the word about myriad events downtown.
We've been trying to encourage people to take more pictures at our farmers market and their events downtown, just to share them on their social media page and just get the word out about everything that happens in our Central Park, because there's an event like every single weekend. But you can't always tell where you are. It's just kind of a tourism thing, draw people in, get people excited, get people to take pictures downtown.
Thanks for tuning in. Sorry the hiatus lasted an extra week. The news just seems to keep on happening, and that keeps us pretty busy. I know, it's weird, right? In any case, it's great to be back on air. Thanks for sticking with us. As always, please consider sharing the show or buying an ad spot. Our number is 319-653-2191. This has been the Washington Weekly Review. I have been Kalen McCain. Have a great week.